This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover lots of things around Douglas County. And today, happy to welcome to the studio U.S. Senator Ron Wyden. Senator, thanks for coming in.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me in the studio.
Well, a lot going on. I mean, this has been a busy summer, and it seems like these days the news cycle really never stops.
That sums it up. Yesterday was incredible. It just kept coming at us.
So I want to cover a lot of different things here. First of all, because this is kind of fresh from the last couple of days, your response to President Trump's comments this week on ending vote by mail and also saying that a pending executive order is coming on the matter.
Well, I think Oregonians understand that this would be a huge, huge mistake. And of course, Oregon's vote by mail has some roots in Republicans and Democrats in our state. You know, Gordon Smith was elected by mail, as I was. Dennis Richardson, who by his own description was very conservative, basically told Trump during the first round that was way off base in terms of what he was saying about vote by mail. And, you know, the fact that, you know, Donald Trump is consulting Vladimir Putin's advice with respect to democracy kind of takes your breath away.
Where do you think this will go? One of the questions that I saw from, I think it was Representative Hoyle's remarks yesterday, was a question as to whether the president actually had the authority to do that.
Well, I don't believe he does. And the reality here is that Oregonians have always felt so strongly. So I'm going to be out having town meetings the rest of the week, and I'm going to have a little referendum. And I'm sure that Oregonians are interested in making their own decisions and don't need the views of Vladimir Putin.
How many countries, any idea, do vote by mail?
A great number, and we're starting the research to pull all that together. Obviously, Donald Trump wants to make this a high priority, and I don't know what, Kyle, he is so frightened about with respect to democracy, because this is about giving people a chance to really be well-informed. We get our voters' pamphlet, we get a chance to study, and it really makes sure that we're casting informed votes.
I was thinking about this morning and just looking at the idea, because the president seems to want to do this for the elections next year, that even if everybody agreed with the idea of ending it, which they clearly don't, but even if they did, just the logistics for county clerks around the country, setting up polling places when folks are used to vote by mail, seems like a big ask.
You are being logical as usual, Kyle. I think Donald Trump knows in a lot of these instances that it's not going to happen, but he wants to play to a far-right base that he's been feeding over the years, that somehow this is all a big exercise in cheating. And, you know, the reality is I'm the first United States senator elected by mail. I'm a Democrat. The second one was Gordon Smith. Gordon Smith was asked all the time when we ran against each other, was this something that was susceptible to cheating? And he said, no, Ron won.
Let's jump over to something related to Douglas County in particular. Back when the Big Beautiful Bill was being was working its way through, there was a provision there that shifted timber revenue funds only to Washington, D.C., to the federal level, instead of a percentage coming to the counties that the land in question was in. Talk about that.
Another huge mistake, and you and I have talked about it. I am the author of the Secure Rural Schools legislation. I wrote it with Senator Larry Craig, Republican of Idaho, and Oregon's share of the legislation has been over $3 billion. That's with a B, for schools and roads and transportation systems. So I think the idea of now basically carving it up so that the federal government is going to gobble up everything in sight and the counties won't have that money for schools and roads and law enforcement, it's a huge mistake. And I've recently written to the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management saying, I'm going to insist on that revenue sharing money get out to rural communities. I'm going to pull out all the stops for doing it. And I consider this, Kyle, one of the most important pieces of legislation that I have been able to get passed during my time in the Congress. And I shudder to think what it would be like if Oregon hadn't had that $3 billion. I mean, we know that we need to do a lot more in terms of natural resources, and I'm a multiple-use guy. But the reality is that in much of Oregon during these years, since I wrote this bill with the Republican Senator Larry Craig, if we hadn't had this money, we would have had schools 3 days a week in a big chunk of Oregon.
And any idea, from the perspective of the folks that wrote this, why they wanted all the money going to the federal level?
It defies common sense. They're always talking about states' rights. But I usually say they're for states' rights only if they think the state is right. And obviously, they just wanted to gobble up all this money that used to go to counties and county commissioners for important services. And I'm telling you, I'm going to pull out all the stops this fall, and I think we'll have a coalition all the way across the West of Democrats, Republicans, people across the political spectrum saying that this is a huge mistake for the West.
Now, it's tied into that, and actually taking place earlier, the president called for more timber harvest on federal land. What was your response to that?
Well, I just mentioned I'm a multiple-use, you know, guy. I think that there's some priorities for the forest in the future. One of the things I'm concerned about is we got to have more work done to get that burnable material off the forest floor. And I was in southern Oregon here a couple days ago, and I was hearing that, you know, that has been part of kind of the yo-yo routine from Washington, D.C. So there's a lot to do. And you start with my prescribed burn bill. And I was just at Crater Lake, and I saw all those piles that looked like they were stacked up for prescribed burns. So you can go in there and reduce the fire risk during the colder weather that's coming up.
Now, you mentioned secure rural schools. What's the status on that? If I recall, it passed in the Senate but not the House, correct?
Yes. And the reality is I'm going to be reaching out again to the chairman of the Natural Resources Committee in the House, because we sent them legislation that would have allowed them to move ahead, and we thought that was going to get done. Somehow there was a glitch in the House side. We're going to talk to Congressman Bentz, who's obviously got influence there, but I don't think anybody in the West, you know, where the federal government in our state, they own most of the land, well over 50%, wants to turn their back on rural communities.
You mentioned Crater Lake a moment ago, and that reminded me about the whole issue of funding for the National Park Service. And how is it looking this summer? What are you seeing out there?
It was really serious. I mean, we're seeing that you've got lots of tourists wanting to come in. They don't have enough people on the ground. That's what they've told us. You know, Craig Ackerman was the former head of it, and he's very concerned. And people who've spent decades taking tours and visiting with people in Crater Lake are very concerned about the fact that they're just not going to have the adequate staffing. And, you know, this is our park. This is Oregon's contribution to the national park system. It's our jewel. We're not going to let it get heisted away by bureaucrats in Washington, D.C.
But how do you change the funding level right now?
What I'm going to try to do this fall, we're going to have, of course, with the new fiscal year, you know, coming up, a big debate. I'm going to try to get with people from other parts of the country that are also concerned about park funding, see what we can do to get those numbers up a bit.
Talk about wildfires. How is it looking? So far, things around here have been pretty good, but what's the forecast that you see for the rest of the summer?
Well, I'm hearing that this is going to go well into football season. I mean, you usually, by Labor Day, you start winding down the kind of arrangements for fire, but I'm just getting told now that, and I heard this in Central Oregon, that this is going to go well into October, and I think, you know, when it's hot and dry, you got to deal with those burnable materials. You got to have the prescribed burns. That's what I'm going to be focused on.
And, you know, you mentioned the football reference. It reminds me a few years ago, probably in 2020, I think the first time we really dealt with it a lot, that we did have all those fires. And in reality, high school football games kept getting moved, sometimes once, twice, three times before they actually took place. And that made some people that maybe didn't normally pay attention to the issue look at that a little more closely.
Kyle, I remember that. And, you know, people were trying to go to games and it was stinging their eyes and that kind of thing. And you bet. I mean, this has very real kind of consequences. And, you know, I heard from folks in Prineville who felt not enough had been done early on in the president's first year. And you just can't cheat on those kinds of priorities.
The Oregon State Legislature recently reallocated the state portion of funding for the Oregon State Veterans Home on the Roseburg VA campus. I got some calls this week from veterans kind of concerned about where this is at and getting that federal match approved so this can finally begin. How do you get to that point?
Well, you make it clear that this is a priority. I mean, the project's expected to move to priority one status when the VA releases its updated list this fall. But the only way you get it done is to bird dog it and to follow through every step of the way, and that's what I'm going to be focused on. I've been weighing in with the VA to make sure we get on that priority list. And after you get on the priority list, it's not as if you just complete the project in the next 15 minutes. It's going to take a while, but we got to get it on that priority list.
And it's been something that's been talked about for, 15, 16 years now. And so I think a lot of the veterans community locally is starting to get nervous that it may not happen.
Well, that's why the Trump administration has an opportunity to make some choices. They can stop cutting veteran services and make sure that we can take care of these kinds of priorities. And you can do it if you stop giving tax breaks to the billionaires.
So what are some specifics that you can do to get this in? Because if I understand the federal process correctly, to get this in now would be, it'd have to be approved by the end of September to get in the budget for the next fiscal year, correct?
We have to get the Trump administration to say, we agree with the Oregon congressional delegation. This has gone on long enough. You're absolutely right. This has been like the longest running battle since the Trojan War. And if the Trump administration wants to work with the delegation on a bipartisan basis, we can get it done and finally get it behind us. And the veterans have every reason to say, you know, this is ridiculous to let this drag on.
So what should veterans or people concerned about it do? They've heard what you have to say, but what should they do to encourage other lawmakers to take action?
They ought to be weighing in with the VA. You know, the VA has actually had a lot of cutbacks. Weigh in with the Trump administration, weigh in with the delegation, and if they have friends in other parts of the country that are trying to move projects as well, get with them and we'll have a joint venture.
And I know that issue is going to be one that's going to be around for quite a while, especially in Douglas County with a high number of veterans, and even you hear about people moving here hoping that in the future, one of their relatives who is a veteran eligible will be able to use that facility.
Yeah, there's no question why we are so attractive to veterans. This area has always been a place that values their contribution to the country and recognizes that you've got to do the follow-up in order to make sure they can get these services. So there's a reason why we're so popular around the country in terms of a place where veterans like to go. And I think it's one of the reasons why our delegation has made this a big priority.
A lot of other things to talk about. One of the things that's been interesting to watch over the last few months nationally is the whole area of tariffs.
Taxes is what they really are. You know, the Trump people don't want to call them taxes, but that's what they are. And we're a state of small businesses. You know, when you're done with the big guys and, you know, four or five of them, then everybody's a small business. Like in Southern Oregon, that's overwhelmingly the case. And the Trump people think that this tariff situation isn't a tax, but these are taxes that get passed on to the working person. One out of three jobs in Oregon revolves around international trade. The trade jobs often pay better than do the non-trade jobs, so this hits consumers, this hits small businesses, and hits our ability to get our goods and services around the world and be competitive. We almost beat the Trump trade agenda. Rand Paul, the Republican senator of Kentucky, and myself offered legislation to end this global tariff scheme that Trump's had. On a 49-49 vote, we lost because a couple senators were gone. When we get them back, we're going to win, and I think we can replace this Trump plan.
Would you like to see all these tariffs that have been enacted come back, or do you feel like there's benefits to some of them in terms of encouraging companies to produce in America?
When Joe Biden was president, the Republicans felt that he had to sign off on trade proposals, major trade proposals. They've resisted that under the Trump administration. I think what was good enough for Joe Biden ought to be good enough for Donald Trump. You ought to have bipartisan support for trade proposals.
Talk about Social Security. People getting close to retirement age look at the numbers and are a little concerned about what's ahead in their future. If they've been planning, they're getting ready to retire, but then they hear forecasts that say, well, we're going to have to do cuts here in the next few years.
It's a particularly appropriate question because I was the one, as the ranking Democrat on the Senate Finance Committee, who requested the new numbers of what this tax bill would mean for the Social Security Fund. And the auditors have said it's definitely going to make it harder to keep the program solvent. And what I've been saying for some time is the billionaires ought to have to start paying something in. You know, what happens today is the billionaires avoid taking an income. Your listeners overwhelmingly pay income taxes. They see it on their paycheck, the FICA. The billionaires don't do that. They subscribe to something called buy, borrow, and die, where they basically can live off, you know, their investments. And I want them to pay into Social Security. And we're in a bigger hole today because of the Trump tax bill, and I'd be happy to make that report available to people who are following, listeners who are following the discussion.
And tied into that as well is Medicaid. What's the status there?
Well, we've got a lot of cost containment we've got to do there. I'm fighting, and Senator Merkley and others are very much involved in this as well, fighting something called upcoding, and it's a huge ripoff by the big insurance companies, and it goes something like this. If you have a modest health problem, essentially what the insurance companies do is they claim it's a huge problem, it's an enormous problem, and that way they can get bigger checks from the government programs, in other words, programs that are paid for by taxpayers. In my view, Kyle, it's simple to describe this. It's fraud. Fraud by major insurance companies. We have bipartisan support for ending it. I think we'll have a lot of support for it in the fall. It's one of my top priorities. Senator Merkley doing a very good job. I'm the ranking Democrat in the Finance Committee where we get this legislation. He's at the Budget Committee. Both Oregon senators are seriously involved in this.
Now, you announced a while back you're planning to run for another term up the road.
Well, I'm focused on what's going on right now. I think the best politics is good policies. That's what we've been talking about, you know, here. And we'll talk about what's going on down the road.
Now, you've been in the Senate since what year?
96. I took Bob Packwood's place after he was forced to resign. And one of the first things I did, and everybody was amazed that I got it done, was pass the Secure Rural Schools bill that you and I have been discussing with Larry Craig.
When you got in the Senate and looking at those first couple of years versus now, how much has the Senate changed? How much has Congress changed and how parties work with each other or don't?
The Senate is much more polarized, and there's a lot of that in the country. And that's why I spend a lot of my time talking about trying to find common ground. I mentioned secure rural schools, completely bipartisan. You asked about tariffs. Lisa Murkowski and I just went to see the Canadian Prime Minister to talk about a coalition between Canada and the United States for more sensible trade and tariff kinds of policies. So it is more challenging, but that has always been my calling card, is to try to find common ground. I call it the Oregon way, and I'll always do it as long as I have the honor to represent Oregon in the Senate.
Are there times, especially maybe in the past year, that have been particularly frustrating for you?
Well, I thought this tax bill, we had a chance to pass a bipartisan tax bill in the last Congress, Jason Smith and I, Republican of Missouri, and people in the Trump campaign and Mitch McConnell said, no, we'll do it when we're in charge. We'll have a partisan bill. We'll be in charge. I think that would have been a mistake. A bipartisan bill in the last Congress would have given us a chance to make an argument for doing a bipartisan bill in this one.
What's ahead on your process in terms of legislation looking into the fall?
Well, certainly at the top of my list are wildfires, secure rural schools, health care. Those would be three, you know, top priorities for Oregon. And then a more fair and equitable tax system. We're going to start that discussion.
And are you concerned about the 2026 midterms?
I believe, as I, you know, touched on, the best political strategy is to get things done for people. And I think those who run around and just say, well, now we're going to focus on the campaign, are missing it. And by the way, one of the things I've said for Democrats, because people ask me what are the Democrats doing, is get out and talk to people who don't agree with you. That's what I do. I've had more than 1,100 town hall meetings, open to all, and I really relish the chance for people who have differing views to come on in and share it. That's the best politics you can do for 2026, is listen to people who don't necessarily agree with you.
Now, you had one yesterday in Grants Pass, right? How did that go?
Pretty exuberant, so to speak. The president of the college had to call it off after a bit. And I tell everybody, you know, everybody's question is welcome. I answer them all. I always will. And I thought it was just unfortunate that more than 200 people who were interested in having their views and want to talk about vote by mail and timber and education and, you know, healthcare couldn't do it because something like 15 people wanted to disrupt.
Now, you've got more town halls ahead this week, right?
Yep, Philomath, and then we're going over to the Oregon coast. And we have 36 counties. I'm getting to all of them, and that's something I pledged and I'm going to do.
Now, the August recess, do you basically, does Congress go back into session right after Labor Day?
Yeah, Congress will be back in on September 2nd, Tuesday. Labor Day is Monday the 1st.
And talk about what you feel like maybe, we've got about a minute left here on Inside Douglas County. What maybe is something that you're most proud of that you've been able to accomplish?
Well, certainly in terms of, you know, this session, prescription drugs is something that's been a real priority of mine. I basically led the effort to allow us to negotiate to hold down the cost of medicine. There's a lot more we have to do because the government and the agencies have not taken on big pharma, but that's something I'm very proud of because it took a long time to get done and it's going to make a big difference and already has.
What's one of the things that's been most frustrating?
Well, certainly the fact that we couldn't get even a discussion about a bipartisan tax bill. Jason Smith and I, in the last Congress, Kyle, we got 357 votes for a bipartisan bill. Half went to small businesses and the business side, half went to users, the child tax credit. You can't get 357 votes the way Jason Smith and I did to order a 7-Up in the Congress. And I think we should have had a bipartisan bill then, and it might have led to better relations between the parties now.
All right, we're out of time. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Let's do it again.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.